It's Tuesday, November 22. You are listening to the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. The great Jeff Fenwick is coming up shortly after he was given a fourth world title 31 years after he was robbed in Vegas against Azuma Nelson. Big fight night tomorrow night in Sydney as well. And Michael Zarafa is fighting, but so is Paul Gallen and Justin Hodges once again. So we'll get his thoughts on that. The World Cup this morning, we're 49 minutes in to the match between USA and Wales, and it is the Americans 1-0 up at this stage. A first half goal for them earlier this morning. England 6-2. They've beaten Iran in a goal fest, and it was 19-year-old Borussia Dortmund player Jude Bellingham who opened the scoring after 35 minutes. And well, there's already a headline I'm just reading here on the BBC. Like Gerrard and Lampard rolled into one is the description here of Jude Bellingham, the youngster, and Bukayo Saka. He had a double. They led 4-0 just after the hour mark, the three lines, 6-2 in the end against Iran. In the other game this morning, the Netherlands beat Senegal 2-0. Cody Gapko scored the crucial goal after 84 minutes, a header, and then a goal with pretty much the last kick of the game ensured that 2-0 victory for the Dutch. And we'll speak to Archie Thompson in about an hour's time. Former Socceroo, Melbourne Victory royalty, of course. He's going to join us throughout the tournament as well. The Aussies play a one-dayer today. They're $1.55 favourites. England, $2.45. And that is the third and final one-dayer of this series against England. The first test against the West Indies starts next week. But it's time to talk some boxing. And we're lucky enough now to be joined by, well, legend, Jeff Fenwick. Jeff, very good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Now, 2 weeks ago was where you were given that fourth world title belt, 31 years after that draw with Azuma Nelson. Congratulations, first and foremost. And of all the people you heard from, was Azuma Nelson one of them?
Well, I didn't really hear from him, but a lot of people have, and he's not real happy. But, you know, I wasn't real happy 31 years ago when I won the fight clearly. So, look, everything happens for a reason. It's better late than never. And like I said, I got it at the right time. Like, if I'd had that world title back then, I wouldn't be married today. I wouldn't be happy today. I wouldn't be the person I am today. So everything happens for a reason. I'm more than happy. And look, like I said, whether I got it or not doesn't really matter because I didn't have it for so long. But it's great to get the recognition. And look, like I said, it wasn't a close fight. I won convincingly. And look, it's about time that we used our technology and used some brain and fix things, some of the things that were wrong.
Yeah, congratulations, buddy. Certainly deserve it, mate. And what does this do now, in your opinion, Jeff, for boxing in general? You know, whether it be other fights that we've seen in the past where the decision hasn't gone the right way, or probably more importantly, looking to the future now, could this be one of the best things that happens for boxing?
Yeah, I'm sure it is, because they know there's a precedent now, and they're going to try that a little bit harder to get it right, and they're not going to be embarrassed. One of the guys who judged my fight, Pup, has never refed or judged after that fight. He was so disgraced, and because
amazing,
he was ridiculed, that he has never refereed or judged after that fight. And the other two still walk around with their heads up high because they've done something for the promoter, Don King. But like I said, it's a long time, but I think it's good for the sport. It's good to see that that somebody was able to stand up and say that, somebody won a fight when they really did,
Yeah, congratulations, Jeff, and great to have you on the program again, mate. Mate, how does it make you feel, though, when you just join an elite group of boxers, guys like Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hitman Hearns, to have won four belts in four different divisions? I mean,
what you guys don't realise, when I really won it back then, I was the first guy in history to do it undefeated. Floyd Mayweather took 10 years to win four world titles. Those guys took more. It was the shortest time ever was Floyd. Yeah, that was my sixth year as a fighter. So I'd done it in 6 years, something that's really never heard of. So, but look, like I said, I always say this. I mean, the belt's really amazing, but it means nothing to me. When you get off the plane, off your seat, Roberto Duran or Chavez and them guys around me and giving me the plaudit and the credit that I, the recognition, then you know you've made it. When the great fighters of the world, give you credit and appreciate what you've done. That's when you've made it. Like I said, over there in Acapulco, they were around me, celebrating with me, saying how I won. So it was really good getting the credit from those other great fighters.
Yeah, I read over the last couple of weeks, you said after that fight you were never yourself again? What do you mean by that? Did you just think you just lost that bit of confidence, or were you just that shattered that you sort of gave up a little bit in terms of thinking that, oh, I don't know, what am I boxing for when I've clearly won that fight and they just haven't awarded it to me?
Yeah, no, I can never say I gave up because I would never give up. But I just wasn't the same guy after. I mean, my performances, or whether maybe that was the peak of my career, which I don't believe it was, because I still believe I had more. But I just, I came home. I came rich, even richer and more famous from having a draw. And you all of a sudden you lose that hunger, you lose that desire, and the things I used to do when I woke up at 5 every morning. I'd wake up at 6 or 7 and run, where I cook my meals at home every day. I'd go out to restaurants and ask them to do special things for me, which I'm sure they weren't doing. But like I said, fame and fortune changes everybody. Like I said, I think everything happens for a reason, and I'm more than happy not to have got that title that day. And then, like I said, forget the money, forget everything else. The person I am today is because of all those experiences, and I think I learned more from losing after that draw than I ever did in my life. So I'm more than happy with it.
Yeah, amazing, mate. What about now, Jeff? Like we talk about, players that compete, or athletes who compete at the highest level for a long period of time, trying to keep them involved with their sport because they have so much to offer through, experience and knowledge. And, mate, you help so many other boxers. Is it, like you just mentioned, is it the tough times you went through that now you see the opportunity to pass that on to these young fighters?
Yeah, definitely so. I think that, when I look at it now, and I learned, you learn lots of things as you grow, and I'm sure you guys, being at the top of your sport, you learn about, your worth, your value, what are the most important things, and who you need around you. Do you need that huge number of people around you, or should it just be a little number? And like I said, I just learned even more. You think you never can learn anymore, but young Brock Jarvis, who I love, he's like my son, he just had a big fight and had his first loss, and what we're going through at the moment is such a learning curve, and hopefully this is going to make he and I a much better team, and we're going to do things so much better. So you never stop learning. The day you stop learning, I don't know, it's the day that the world stops, because I think that I learn every day, and I want to get better and better, because I want to get back, not just to the sport, but to the people who support me. Like I said, as I've been travelling and doing things and people have been asking me to get photos, I can never say no, because without those people that paid for me to watch or paid to watch Jeff Fenney fight, who would I be today? I wouldn't be sitting in this beautiful house I'm in today. So I just thank them so, so much.
When did the WBC tell you they were doing this, Jeff? And describe your reaction and your emotions and that of your family and friends as well.
Yeah, well, over the last couple of years, I've spoken and spoken about it, and all of a sudden, I get a call from the president, Mauricio Sulaiman, and he goes, Jeff, at this convention in Acapulco, that we're going to do something very, very special. It's going to be called Redemption. And, so I had about 15 or 20 Aussies all fly over with me on short notice, and we had the most amazing time. They shared and like I said, it wasn't a victory for me. It was just like, it was, I don't know, some peace of mind, just knowing that, like I said, it's different if the fight was 5-7 or if it was a close fight, but when you win a fight as convincingly as I did, and you can see my reaction in the ring after the fight. I mean, I knew I won the fight. There was room, and else couldn't walk in the 12th round. I held him up. I actually held him up from 40 when the bell went in the 12th round. So I don't know. I mean, for me, that's sad, because even playing sport, when you see these boxers today, at the end of the round, at the end of the fight, these both guys are putting their hands up. One guy knows he's been beaten up. So why are they both putting their hands up? Because they're just hoping that the judges make a mistake or the judges do something that's incorrect. And I don't like the sport because of that.
Well, we'll talk about fight night tomorrow night in Sydney on Main Event, and Paul Gallen, Justin Hodges going at it again. What's your prediction for this? And in Gallen in particular, what have you noticed about, has he dropped off? Is his age starting to show? I mean, what have you noticed in his last couple of fights as he heads into what he says is going to be his final fight?
Yeah, without doubt, I've been there while he sparred one of my heavyweights. I've watched him. I've watched him. This guy get beat up and sparring and stuff, and then still come out into the ring on that night and be amazing. He's just such a super athlete, such an amazing human. But like I said, this is a different sport. This is a sport where you're on your own. And when Father Time catches up, ask Jeff Fenwick, he catches up with you, and there's nobody can help you. You know, and like in that last fight when Hodges hit him and hurt him, wow, Hodges is going to have so much confidence. Wow, I dropped Paul Gallen. And look, he's going to try to do that again. And he's very, very capable of it. He's done it once. He can do it again. So I think that, yeah, look, I'd love Gallen have to have retired. But look, he didn't want to. Also, hopefully he'll go out on a good note. But it's very, very tough for me to say that, like all the other times before the fight against Hodges, I thought, yeah, of course he's going to beat Hodges. But now there's a big question mark. And I think that, Gallen could be in a little bit of trouble, especially if Hodges hits him early and hurts him. He will. Then Hodges is very, very fast, very, very big and strong. And low. So, yeah, I'm worried for Gallen because, like I said, the effects of these things that happen in sport don't happen overnight, but they happen progressively. And hopefully, this will be his last fight and he'll get out and, you know, just look after himself.
The other big fight of the night, Michael Zarafa against Danilo Criati, and Zarafa's a hot favourite to win that. How do you expect this to play out? So I don't know much about his opponent. What can we expect?
Well, I was the first guy that ever, Danilo, when he first turned professional, I trained him. Very, very, very skillful guy. Amazing speed and stuff. And I mean, in his last fight, he upset one of the big names of the sport. But I watched Zarafa beat up Jeff Horn that first time, and which was amazing. So Michael's got all the skill in the world and that, but like, he's a bad boy. A lot of people like him, a lot of people don't like him. So that's great for the sport. He gets a lot of bums on seats, a lot of people viewing. So it's going to be a real tough fight, but I do honestly believe that Zarafa has the all-round skill to beat Danilo. But, I mean, like I said, boxing is a sport where you really can't, underestimate anybody. Anything can happen on the day, one punch away from disaster.
Mm. And when you look at this main event card, Jeff, how, optimistic are you about the future of Australian boxing at the moment?
Wow, Australian boxing, I think without doubt, without any doubt, is in the strongest position it's ever been. I mean, we have more fighters world-rated than ever, and I think that we've got the best promoter in the world, Matty Rose, is doing an amazing job. Those guys at No Limit just keep getting better and better, and they're looking at what happens overseas. They're matching it and they're doing better shows than these guys. And I think, like I said, Australian boxing's at an all-time high, and I can't wait to be sitting down tomorrow and commentating for Fox and giving my opinion on what's happening,
You mentioned Brock Jarvis. How's he travelling? Obviously a tough loss, but man, geez, he can fight and he's worked his backside off. So where's he sit now, mate? What's next for him? And how's he travelling after that loss?
Yeah, well, we're just sitting down at the moment, Pup, and we're just trying to make sure we know we've got to get a date for our next fight, and then we'll go from there. Like, Brock's already wanting to fight these guys, the next best guy in the world. That's Brock. Brock's a real winner. Mm. But we're going to just sit down, and we've got to have a plan. Like I told him, he's 25 years old, which he was yesterday. Last night was his 25th birthday. Yeah. We had a beautiful night at a beautiful steakhouse at 5 o'clock. But I want him just to take his time, and what I want him to use, Pup, is not that big, because he's big and strong. I want him to start using his brain more, and we'll take it from there. But like I said, he loves your support, Puppy, and we just want to just slowly get him back to where I know he can do. So two fights down the track, we have a couple of good fights. He'll be back in the world ratings, and he'll be ready to fight for a world title for sure.
And Timmy Zhu's got that big fight against Charlo in Vegas in January. Jeff, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, to be honest, guys, a year or so ago, I thought, wow, Tim's going to wipe the world, and I still think he can. But Charlo in his last couple of fights against Castano, the first one was like kind of ordinary. I thought that Tim's got him. But in the rematch, he really stepped it up and he showed that he watched and knew exactly what he had to do to win the fight, and he'd done that. So, look, it's going to be a very, very difficult fight for Tim. But, look, no fights are easy, especially when you're fighting for the undisputed championship of the world. But I'm a huge Tim Zhu fan. And, look, I just hope that he can get the job done. But it's going to be very, very difficult over there in Vegas, the MGM Grand.
Well, you'll be there ringside with Ben Damon for main event tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. And for our listeners, just go to KO or Foxtel or mainevent.com.au to order the fight. Paul Gallen, Justin Hodges, Danilo Criati and Michael Zarafa amongst a really, really good card that No Limit's putting on there tomorrow night. And Jeff, once again, congratulations. Your fourth world title, long overdue, but well-deserved. And we appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Thanks.
Jeff Fenwick there, and just some markets for that tomorrow night. So it sounds like Jeff's tipping Justin Hodges to win. Mm. And I know, Loz, you are always in Gow's corner. Mm. He's $1.28 favourite with Tab. Hodges, $3.50. Zarafa, $1.14. Criati's $5.50 for the other big fight of the night. But he reckons he's just seen signs, Jeff Fenwick, that Paul Gallen's getting. Well, yeah. We know he's towards the end, but
it's amazing perhaps in boxing,
it's coming
though,
fast.
How you fall off the cliff pretty quickly.
Very much so.
Like in other sports, you can see a decline and it happens over time, but it seems in boxing you can go from one fight to the next and lose it. And I don't know why. I don't know whether it's because you get dropped or they talk about, you know, having a glass jaw and things like that. And if you get dropped, how much that affects you. But I've said it a number of times. Paul Gallen, if he's not the most mentally strong footy player I've ever come across, he's certainly on the podium. He is unbelievably strong mentally, and he'll go into this fight knowing that he can win. And I don't think Hodjo can beat him. I don't know whether Gal wins on knockout or just wins on points, but Gal will get himself up and going, I would think. Everything I know about Paul Gallen, but again, when you hear a guy like Jeff Fenwick talk about how he's noticed some things, Jeff had noticed the technical side of it and what he's looking like in that ring compared to me, but I just know Gal, his mentality, when he goes out to do battle, whether it's on a rugby league field or in the ring, there's not many stronger mentally.
Morning, Andrew.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to ask Loz something about the World Cup final. It being played at Old Trafford, what your thoughts were. I just thought it was, I love the it being a nice field, all the rest of it. A bit small for a final, I thought, just the perimeter, the sidelines, the boundaries for the dead ball line, a bit unsafe.
Yeah, certainly the in goals were short. I'd love to know what the length of them were, because I here in Australia, when you look at the rules, I think you can be anywhere from 5 to 8. But it was certainly very narrow, and you know, the drop off was the concern for me, where they sort of just have
a little dip,
and then they go down to the fence. You know what? Yes, it was a danger to the players, and they're lucky that they do come away with no major injury concerns. But I think if you asked all the players whether they'd like to play there or not, I think most of them would say yes, they'd love to play at Old Trafford. It's just a ground with so much history, and it creates a wonderful atmosphere. I was lucky enough to play there, and the noise just stays inside the stadium. But, yeah, in a perfect world, you would have liked to have seen the in goals a little bit longer than what they were, but that's what they came up with. There were 67,000 people there. I don't think there was any complaints from either nation. So, yeah, I think it is what it is. I think over there in England, when you're playing on a soccer field, you're not going to get the big in goals because they're just not suited to it and they're not big enough.
Less than 5 metres. It's those in goals at Old Trafford.
They were less than five, yeah. Yeah, they're probably around 4 metres, were they? Something like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the exact figure, but I've seen less than five.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Andrew, for the call. Appreciate it. Just on Paul Gallen, Josh the Bricky writes on the text line, morning, gents. Gow was recently at the St. Greg Sportsman's Dinner, and one thing that blew me away was when he said he saved his hardest training sessions for his birthday and Christmas Day. Absolute motivation and ticker. Hashtag respect, says Josh the Bricky. And, well, you would have seen all that professional element to Gal, Loz, over your time, no doubt. And Josh the Bricky, just that struck a chord with him as we head into that fight night tomorrow night, the last one for Paul Gal. You see some of the antics at the media conference yesterday. So Gal, so Michael Zarafa
talking. I saw
talking.
A phone call with Tim Zhu.
Gal took a
was
phone
that,
call
Was that a G
up?
Was he really on the phone, Tim Zhu?
Well, I think so, because I think Zarafa said he saw the name come up on the phone. Right. So they've obviously orchestrated it.
Yeah.
When I see Zarafa talking, I'm going to call you. And he's turned to Zarafa Galhaz and gone, mate, are you going to turn up this time?
Got to sell the fight, mate. Oh, got to sell the fight.
Good stuff. And just some of the chat between Gal and Hodges. I mean, and what about Gal yesterday saying that he wouldn't even fight Sonny Bill now for $5 million? Do you believe that, Loz?
Depends how he goes in this fight. Depends how he goes in this fight.
Well, I think how much is he getting from Justin Hodges' fight? $300,000. I reckon he'd fight Sonny Billions for $5 million, Matt.
Would you fight Sonny Bill for $5 million?
No. Well, not a chance.
Would you?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
No, thank you very much.
There you go. Daly would and fight Sonny Bill
Paul
for
Gallen,
$5 million
Paul
and Gallen would win.
Definitely would.
Oh. Get Sonny on. I'm not scared of him.
USA still leading 1-0 against Wales at the World Cup this morning, 79th minute. Oh, back the draw, Loz. Are you hopeful for me? My chance? I need a goal. I need a Gareth Bale special or something here.
2-0, yeah, I reckon. I reckon USA will score again.
Why did I do that bet?
Every time I've looked up USA...
Who backs the draw? Like
...being the better team on the attack, you know?
The Wales did have a period there, but they're obviously pressing now, so they're leaving themselves vulnerable to the counter.
Well, you said who backs a draw. I could back a draw in soccer, but who backs corners?
Oh, many.
I know. Yeah. So I couldn't back that.
Over under corners. Yeah. Great bet. How did see the same game multis? So 1-0 that is. 6-2 England beat Iran this morning, and the Netherlands beat Senegal 2-0. Tomorrow morning at this time, it will be France and the Socceroos. France $1.28, Australia $7, the draw $5.50 with Tab. What did Mossy predict? He predicted 1-1 and Lecky and Mbappe to score the goals for their respective sides there tomorrow morning. Now, still to come, we've got Archie Thompson in half an hour's time. Former Socceroo, Melbourne Victory royalty, of course. He's going to join us throughout the tournament. We've got Kate Peterson, Sydney Sixers all-rounder. She's had an outstanding three matches. Her last three matches with the ball, she's taken 3 for 31, 3 for 27 and 4 for 17. And heading into those matches, she'd taken just one WBBL wicket. So she has hit form, to say the least, and the Sixers finished top with 11 wins and 2 losses, and they'll host the final on Saturday. And there's two finals between now and then to figure out who they're going to play. But joining us now, we're going a bit left to centre here. And what are you showing us here, Loz? We got a free kick? Or a penalty?
Penalty.
Oh, you little ripper. Oh, come on, Wales. You watch this get saved now. But we're going off centre here because we're going to speak to a competitive eater. Yes, a professional competitive eater. He's from Balcombe Hills in Sydney, 33 years of age, and I urge everyone to Google him because he's fit and ripped as well. And he's part of the MLE, Major League Eating, over there in the States. He's the first Aussie to eat competitively at the home of the MLE, which is Coney Island there in New York. And his name is James Webb. James, morning to you. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on the show. First question, what have you eaten today?
To be fair, nothing. I'm on my way to the gym.
Okay, sweet. By the end of today, what will you have consumed? I was probably thinking you're over in the States, but you're back home at the moment.
Yeah, the competition season's actually finished in America. It starts back up end of January.
Okay.
But to answer your question, today will be... I'm not even sure, to be honest. We'll find out what's on special at Woolies, I guess.
James, can I ask... How did you get involved in eating, and when did you know you could handle eating a lot of food?
Well, look, I've always been a pretty decent size eater growing up in it. So, you know, mama's cooking, but I never realized eating like competitively was a thing, or it's popular, or you know, whatever. So, I went to a pub with my missus, and I did a burger challenge, and I won like $500.
Right,
and then like apparently it was like a big deal. So then I was like on the radio, on the news and things like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of just escalated from there.
James, how does your daily intake of food change in the lead up to a tournament?
So it depends on like the kind of food. Like for Nathan's, because it's hot dogs, right? Yeah. I never really ate hot dogs, so I had to eat a lot of hot dogs for like practice. But for a general competition, I'll just eat like
around 10 kilos of food a day to keep my stomach stretched. But, like, if it's a certain food that I need to practice, like, I'll concentrate on that food.
When did you realize you had a talent for this?
You know what? When lockdown, last year during lockdown, my girlfriend made me a TikTok for a bit of a joke because lockdown was pretty boring. And then I started eating, like, a bunch of food during lockdown for, like, entertainment purposes. And then, like, people were like, holy crap, like, that's a talent, and that's crazy, and you're really good, and stuff like that. So then I kind of realized I'm all right at this. And then I just kind of rolled with it.
How do you feel after an event? Do you feel, like,
full?
Crook?
Look, it depends what it is, but after most of the competitions, you feel a bit bloated because you're, like, eating food and drinking really quick, so you're gulping in food and water and everything else, yeah. Air. But some of them are, like, only 2 or 3 minutes long. So you can't really eat that much food in 3 minutes. So, like, you feel okay.
Yeah.
But the 10-minute ones, you feel a bit bloated.
And I'm assuming, is there strategy in eating competitions? Or do you just go as hard as you can?
Yeah, no, definitely. It depends what the food is again. Like, with the hot dogs, for example, you kind of have to separate the hot dog from the bread and dunk the bread in the fluid. Otherwise, you can't eat it quick enough.
Yeah.
If it's a burger, normally you pull the burger apart and you eat all, like, the middle section, like the meat and the cheese and the bacon first. Because, like, some foods are easier to eat, like, colder, and some are really terrible to eat cold. Like, for example, cold bacon.
Yeah.
Like, you're most likely going to choke. So you want to eat the bacon first because when it's hot, it goes down easy. Things like chips, bread and stuff, you can eat cold.
Right.
Whereas, like, a cold burger patty is not the greatest time.
Okay. So, you said the competitive season's just finished. Are you monetizing this okay? Like, is this, how much, you know, longevity have you got in this?
Well, there's pretty, especially in America, there's pretty decent prize money. Like, to be fair, like, if you're ever good enough to win the Nathan's contest, that's $10,000 US. But also in America, because it's like a professional league, right? So it's like a national sport over there. They treat it very seriously. There's like 40 events a year. So there's some guys that just travel around America every weekend competing, you know, most weeks of the year. And if you're good enough, you know, normally it's top 5 prize money. If you're good enough, you can earn some pretty decent coin.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because when you talk about eating, you would expect you'd be a big guy, but you're very ripped. So what's your training look like? You must train extremely hard.
Oh, look, firstly, thank you. to be honest, like, eating the amount of food I eat and the kind of food I eat, like, it catches up to you. So I've put on, you know, a few kilos here and there. But to be honest, if you look at the best eaters around in America especially, a lot of them used to be elite athletes, like college basketballers, bodybuilders. Actually, Joey, who's the number one in the world, he's a long-distance cyclist, like a cross-country, like mountain biking. So, like, everyone's come from a pretty elite, fit background.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, it goes from one extreme to the next, right? You know, when you guys know, elite sports, you're kind of pretty strict with what you eat and your training regime and stuff. And then when it's kind of off-season, you can let loose a bit, right? Mm. I mean, some people choose to, you know, have a few beers with their friends. Others choose to go smash, like, 5 kilos of burger.
and Joey, who you mentioned, naturally the legendary Joey Chestnut. Tell us, what's he like? And what separates him from the pack, so to speak?
Oh, okay. So he's a freak. He's just gifted. Like, honestly, like, probably the best hot dog eater ever, that ever will be, to be honest. But as a person, he's a legend. Like, he's actually such a gentleman. When I first met him, like, he's Joey Chestnut, yeah? I'm just this guy from Australia. And he came and introduced himself to me and, like, was so nice to me, took his time to chat to me. Like, he's actually a top guy.
What's the biggest sort of meal you've had, and have you ever failed to finish one?
Yeah, definitely. I failed quite a few. Oh, to be fair, it depends. Like, an actual challenge, like there's challenges around in restaurants. You rock up, and if you eat this burger in 10 minutes, you get it for free sort of thing.
Right.
I've never failed, like, a proper challenge like that. The only ones I failed are the ones where the restaurant's kind of, oh, yeah, come down, and we'll make something for you. And they'll put, like, you know, every single menu item on the table in front of you, or, like, it's a challenge for, like, 4 people or something like that. So, like, for example, I tried to eat Australia's biggest pizza. It was, like, 40 inches, diameter, and it's meant for 4 people.
And I couldn't fit the last two slices. Like, I probably would have died.
Mate, what about this burger I'm seeing on the on this website of you sitting there ready to eat it with the burger rings and stuff? Did you finish all that?
The burger ring. Is it a flat round burger? Or
yes, a flat round burger.
Yeah, it looks...
Right. So that was what started this whole thing. That was at the time, one of the biggest burgers in Australia, and like 50 people had failed this challenge.
That's massive.
Oh, is that in the Hunter Valley somewhere?
Yeah, Cessnock.
Yeah, okay. That's the 5 kilo burger challenge. We're looking at the same picture here.
Yeah, that's what started this whole thing.
Oh, okay, right. So that's where you basically, graduated from there and ended up in the MLE.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about, the reaction and support of, you mentioned your girlfriend, your family, your friends. There's got to be people, I'm sure, within your family that are probably concerned about potential health damage, etc. I mean, how do you react to all that?
Yeah, look, to be fair, having ethnic parents, they're a bit, they're like, what the hell are you doing sort of thing. But to be fair, like, over time, they kind of came around because, all right, eating is one aspect of it. But, like, the other side of it is, like, the whole social media, the marketing, the promotional side. Like, they see it more than just the eating now. Whereas at the start, they're like, why would you stuff your face? Why would you do that? And then, like, now I'll do a challenge. My mom's like, oh, was that restaurant any good? Like, they actually take an interest in what I do because, like, they see, like, I'm going around meeting people, eating great food and discovering places to go and eat, right? So, like, my mom's always concerned about, like, oh, how do you feel after that or whatever, being a mom, But they have come around to the idea of competitive eating.
So what's your plan, say, in the next 12 months? Where do you compete? Where do you go? And
look, I'm definitely going to go back to America next year. I just have to work out when. So basically, just after Christmas, they'll release like the first like 3 months of competitions. And then I want to try and do like a few weeks like back-to-back. So like generally earlier on in the year, they have like, it's weekend after weekend after weekend. And then toward the end of the year, it's like, every second or third weekend.
Yeah.
So I want to try go early to America next year and try and do like, whether it's 3 or 4 competitions back to back. But also I've recently discovered Turkey and the UK are like crazy for competitive eating. And I'm being like tagged in heaps of like TikTok and Instagram videos of like challenges where you can win like some decent coin. So I don't know, like, I'll explore that. I'm not sure, but, like, that'll be cool to be able to go overseas again somewhere else and eat.
Well, Clarkey, we all have a calling, and James has found his.
I appreciate that.
Mate, we appreciate your time. It's fascinating, and we're getting a lot of texts. One says just, this is awesome. So
Thank you.
We appreciate your time, and, mate, we'll be tracking you going forward for sure. Thanks so much.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the opportunity.
James Webb there, competitive eater on the MLE circuit. Yes, it's a circuit, major league eating.
I just can't believe the size States. Of them, because there's nothing really of them. And they're like, James is very fit. And to be able to eat the amount of food that he does in competitions, and even just looking at that pizza and the burger, well, that's massive. I consider myself a big eater. Yeah. There's no way in the world I'd eat a quarter of that.
That burger, I mean, the diameter of it, you can just tell that's bigger than way bigger than a dinner plate, and the depth of the burger. Look at that.
Right. And then you got the chips. And then you got the burger rings.
Yeah.
On top.
Incredible. Googly, I urge everyone to just look him up, James Webb, if you haven't heard of him, making a splash on the MLE circuit. Well, Gareth Bale scored from the spot, Wales' first World Cup goal since, they were in the tournament last in 1958. It had to be Gareth Bale. He was hacked out in the penalty box. Referee gave a penalty. And here they are, potentially pressing for, there's 9 minutes of stoppage time here. We're in the fourth minute of those 9 minutes of stoppage time. So USA look like they're holding on here. 1-1, Wales pressing in the World Cup this morning. Brad Davidson, morning to you, mate. How are you? How was your week off?
Yeah, morning, guys. Yeah, good, thanks. Got back to Perth for a little bit to see the grandfather for his 90th. That was very nice to get back there and do that. Yeah, so nice little time over there and back into it this week.
And what'd you make? Did you catch Riadini's win in the gong on Saturday?
Yeah, he was strong, wasn't he, guys? Sat 3 wide, no cover the entire trip and still found a way to win. I mean, it wasn't the worst place to be out there, wide, getting to the middle of the track on the weekend at Kembla, but still, you know, you never want to be three wide in any race, really. So he was well placed by the Waterhouse and Bot team there on the weekend. A couple of really nice prep runs leading into that and ready to peak up on the big day. And I know he hadn't won for some time, but that didn't really matter at all. And, yeah, there was no doubting his will to win over that last 100 metres. So a super performance by the team. And we know at his best, you know, he had form around Very Elegant, Think It Over, close seconds to those horses at a mile in the past on dryish ground. So conditions to suit there on the weekend and got the job done nicely.
One of the best back runners at Kembla on Saturday was a horse called Nugget. What did you think of his performance and what's sort of next for him?
Yeah, very impressive, Loz. Looks an exciting prospect for the Australian bloodstock team. He ran well at Flemington first up on an unsuitable wet track and just peaked on the run late there. So stepping up to a mile there on the weekend, he was heavily back. They went up, I think, $4 and then $2.80 in the morning and just kept firming every hour, really. And you see there late in the piece, he was sort of $2.40, $2.30, $2.20, $2.15, $2.10, and then I think he started $2.15. So was heavily supported and really never looked like getting beaten. Nice ride just to get three wide with cover there and just presented down the home straight and gave them a galloping lesson. Look, he'll go, I think, towards the Ingham, which is obviously renamed the Villiers there. Well, used to be known as the Villiam, now the Ingham, and he's the favourite there now for that race after the weekend. So I think the key with him, guys, is just getting that dry ground, getting the mile, and I think they'll keep him to those sort of sharper trips. And, of course, if he wins the Ingham, he gets a ticket into the Doncaster next autumn as well. So it looks an exciting prospect. Obviously, we'll have to step up against the bigger guns in the weeks to come, but it looks a really nice time for him to stamp himself as a horse to follow going to the carnival next year.
Looks to be some really strong nominations for the festival and Starlight Stakes at Rose Hill on Saturday. The festival and all-in market there has Kiss Sum, the $5 favourite in the Starlight of Thelric, coming off its win on the weekend, $3.50 from Dragonstone at $4.50.
Yeah, Dragonstone was a real eye-catcher there, wasn't he, on the weekend? Back to his best, no doubt about that, but a Thelric taking out the Warra and favourite for that Starlight. And as you said, Kiss Sum there hasn't had a lot of luck in terms of missing races and things like that this preparation, but should get his chance this weekend in that festival stakes as well. So the carnival officially over, but continues with some feature racing this weekend, and I'm looking forward to following that right through towards the Villiers or the Ingham as well. So shaping up to be a nice weekend at Rose Hill. Hopefully this good weather continues. It looks to be throughout the week, so expect to be on another good surface this weekend.
I'm assuming Nugget is one to follow, but is there anything else out of that meeting you want to follow going forward?
Yeah, I thought Atmospheric Rock was a good run, Loz. A lightly raced horse that ran really well in the Tab Highway. Hit the line very strongly and seems to be doing some pretty good things. So it's lightly raced, and you can probably throw another one in the mix from yesterday. Even Mogo Magic was very impressive down south there and at country level, 2 from 2 now. And Wagga and she's just winning with strength late and running good times. So it might be a one we see come to town soon. It's been starting short down there in the country regions, but should be hard to beat if it comes to a Tab Highway next time out.
What'd you make of Pretty Wild?
Yeah, I thought the run was good. Yep, solid performance there for the team and Clarkie. Wasn't far away at all, fresh off the soft trial, so can only improve off that into the preparation too. So definitely one to stick with over the coming months.
Put anything in the bin?
I think we've got to put Naval Seal in the sin bin, guys. Was well supported once again, got back to near last and never ever ran on at all. Wasn't really a race to suit in terms of the tempo, but still was very disappointing nonetheless. And that's two poor runs now, so we'll put it in the sin bin, just taking up too much percentage in the market.
Mate, have a great day. We'll chat tomorrow.
Look forward to it, guys. Talk then.
Yeah, and we'll get Davo's midweek mail. Now there's, 20 seconds of stoppage time to go here between USA and Wales over at the World Cup. So Wales equalising after USA took a first half lead, and it was that man Gareth Bale from the penalty spot. But it looks like this is going to finish in a draw, Loz, which, thank you, something for the punters.
Well, there you go, mate. Early morning bet, and you've had a win.
I was cursing myself for taking the draw. After USA went 1-0 up, thought we might have had a scoreless game here, but 1-1.